You're listening to The Big Show.
They score!
With Russick and Rose.
He rips the puck off the bar and in. His second goal of the game makes it 5-0 Flames.
Get ready to go now.
On the official home of your Calgary Flames.
Are you ready?
Robbed by Markstrom. What a save. It's loose. And Markstrom makes another miraculous stop.
This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, hi there. Let's do this. It's Friday. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. Man, do we got a jam-packed, loaded, busy show on a Friday. Usually we like to coast into the weekend. Not today. Not today. So Maddie's in Vegas. Patrick's in Southern Ontario. So we got a Brent Cron in studio for 3 hours.
3 whole hours. The drive's quite a quiet one on the way in.
Was a lot lighter?
Yeah, it was there. There wasn't a whole lot of traffic to contend with, actually.
You didn't have to pack your patience?
No, not this time.
Okay.
Not this time. No patience packed. And I was trying to grab a coffee on my way out. And there's a, you know, it's early in the morning, and there was this elderly gentleman standing outside. He couldn't get into the coffee shop because it was still locked. So he waited outside with his newspaper.
Oh.
Very nostalgic. I'm not sure what year it was dated, if they even make those anymore, but he had something underneath his armpit. I was like, wow, it's early.
When's the last time you bought a newspaper? And I don't want to you know, disparage the newspaper community. We work in radio. It's not like we're the most hippest medium going to.
You know what? I'd have to say probably playing in the American Hockey League, grabbing the USA Today. You know, looking at the stats.
At the airport?
Potentially at the airport or at the hotel. There'd be a little grab a free newspaper sometimes. If they were going to buck up and pay for the big shot hotels, we get a USA Today dropped at our door in the morning, and you grab that, and everybody fight over the paper for the Sudoku.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was never a big Sudoku guy, though.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
Crosswords can be difficult, too.
Very much so.
You know why? I find crosswords difficult because I'm a bad speller.
Oh. How's your grammar?
I think my grammar's pretty good.
Yeah.
We still got Big Show Spelling Bee on the whiteboard.
Oh,
we still need to do that. I am awful at spelling, too.
I am such a bad speller that my phone can't even recognize what I'm trying to spell. But I do consider myself a bit of a wordsmith.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I do like the edit button on the phones now too, where if you do screw up, like it actually bothers me when I screw up spelling or punctuation.
Mm.
It really, really irritates me. And I don't like acronyms either.
You know, bothers me when people put a space between the exclamation point. There's no space.
There is zero space.
Damn you.
I got a buddy who doesn't understand spaces in his texts either. So some words are 2 or 3 spaces apart.
Oh.
And you just look at it, and it's very hard to digest, really. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
It's like hieroglyphics. Oh, my voice. My mouth's not working.
Yeah, yeah.
Into the show. Like I said, we got a busy show.
Busy.
Oh, my goodness. The Flames lost last night, 4-1 in L.A. to the Kings. Late start, 8:30 start from Los Angeles. Daniil Miramanov playing his best Henry Burris impression, snapping the ball through his long snapper.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, what was he doing?
You know what? He just, you know, the wires touched probably. He's like, I got to get this puck back there, and I got no stick, so we're just going to snap it back and see if that goes.
Yeah, he made a bit of a boo-boo. The Kings score on that power play. They beat Calgary 4-1 last night. Oh, guess what? If you didn't like the West Coast game last night, you get another one tonight in Anaheim against the Ducks. Boom. Back-to-back for your Calgary Flames.
Boango.
And apparently, they were talking post-game. They didn't like their performance last week at home to Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Revenge game tonight.
Yeah. Whiteboard material.
Big revenge game coming up.
You know, L.A. didn't like their game against Calgary in Calgary the other week, too. That was not a good one.
4-1 win last night.
4-1 win last night. They clinched a playoff spot last night.
Destined to play the Oilers again in the playoffs.
Oh, I know. That's
Man. Tyrrell Hatton just hit it into the water at the Masters. He's not happy. He's swearing at his caddy. It's not his caddy's fault. You chunked that thing right into the drink. Yeah, he's yelling at him. He's animated. The Masters is on right now because they're finishing up the first round from yesterday. because it was a late start because of some inclement weather in Augusta, Georgia.
It was windy yesterday. Hey?
It was breezy. The fan was up. The fan's going to be up today again. It's going to be windy today at Augusta National. We're going to talk about the Flames win. We're going to mix in some Masters talk. Did you know, because I know you play golf, but I don't think you're a big golf fan.
You can just say I'm not good, yes.
I never said that.
Oh, sorry.
Pardon me. That's, you said that.
It's my insecurity.
Do you know that the Masters is closed from May to October?
I did not know that.
It's not open.
That's nice. I like that.
It's closed in the summer.
Why would they do that?
Because it's too hot for the greens.
Yeah.
And the course.
Yep.
And that's when they do all their changes to the course to make it difficult.
Wow.
More difficult. From May to October.
For golf season.
Closed.
Yes.
Yeah. It's only open for a little window a year.
Oh,
and
man.
The membership is extremely expensive.
And they charge the nose.
It's like 50 grand Canadian, like a year just to be a member.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not open for the heart of the golf season.
How do you negotiate that? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we're only going to be open for 6 months of the year.
And they only have 300 members.
That's all. That's all it takes.
That's it.
It's like here, you have such a small window to cram as much golf in as possible in that period of time. And then to have it shut down for 6 months, such a prestigious course.
Yeah, prestigious. Absolutely. it's not open from...
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, May to October. GVP's here too, by the way.
Yo.
You're sitting in that spot.
I am.
It's weirding me out a little bit.
I feel weird about it too. I feel like I'm not busy enough right now.
You're just sitting here getting ready to do the Rose Report.
I'm geared up for it.
Okay. I should tell you what's on the show today.
Great idea.
We're 8 minutes in. I haven't even said anything about the show today. So Shai Davidi covers the Blue Jays. Sportsnet columnist, top of the hour. Jays kick off a series against the Rockies. Patty Dumas is going to be there at the game tonight in Toronto. They'll join us. Frank Saravalli at 7:30 with this Arizona Coyotes mess.
Oh, man.
So apparently they're going to Salt Lake. It's pretty much a done deal. It looks like it could be, it couldn't be. We talked to Jeff Merrick yesterday. They're like, one little thing could ruin this whole thing. A bad tweet, somebody saying something. So let's just...
not talk about it?
Yeah, I don't know, I guess.
Hold your breath?
And then I saw something on social media last night that the Coyotes have had a hard time paying their hotel bills.
What?
On the road.
Your National Hockey League team.
So that's something we'll ask Frank about. I don't know if that's confirmed or denied. So let's talk to Frank about that.
When I was in Dallas, the NHL took over the Dallas Stars. And so we stopped getting direct deposit. And we just got pay stubs in our stall. And I remember thinking that if we're getting like actual physical checks that we have to go in and deposit, I'm getting to the bank before Medano's going there. I'm getting to the bank before Turco's going there. So this check doesn't bounce, right?
So there's money left in the bank?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome that you got a check.
Yeah.
Was it a big novelty one?
Yeah, it was nice. I like that.
Was it a giant novelty
check? No, I wanted one. You know what? Oh. Even when I got my hole-in-one at the Flames golf tournament too, I wanted an official presentation on the ice and a giant check so I could walk into the bank and say, look at me.
I can't, I still can't believe you have a hole-in-one. I have one on a par 3 course, which doesn't count.
No. I did it when the stakes were huge.
I know.
Right?
When you won 10 gur.
Yeah, I did. And it was pretty funny because I was golfing with some pretty good boys, and they were laughing at how bad of a golfer I was. And I didn't even watch the ball go in the hole. I just went straight to the beef on the bun tent and made myself a bun and grabbed a
beef
glass
on
of wine.
A weck, as they call in Western New York.
Oh, on a what?
On a weck.
On a weck?
Yeah.
The hell's that?
Beef on a weck. It's like beef on a bun. That's what they just call it there. I don't know why. It's just
I've learned two things now. The master.
Oh,
the...
I will learn. You will learn so much doing shows with me about stupid stuff.
I'm gonna
never use.
I'm gonna write that down.
Your idol's coming in studio.
Yeah, I reminded him again yesterday. He's pumped.
Mike Vernon in studio for the 8 o'clock hour. That's kind of cool.
It is really cool.
We get to talk to Hockey Hall of Famer, multiple Stanley Cup champion Mike Vernon in studio. He's a golf guy. Don't know if he's been watching the Masters because I beached myself on the couch yesterday watching the Masters all day. It was terrific.
Yep.
It's one of the best days of my life, just watching golf all day. It was great. He's going to join us in studio. Then we got to do the Speargrass Golf Show. We have four passes to give away to Speargrass Golf Course. We'll talk to Sam McKee, one half of the Golf Guys, over on the Sportsnet 590 The Fan Golf Guys podcast. So he's going to join us. GVP is going to interview Aaron Bronstetter at 9:40 UFC 300 this weekend.
Yeah.
Like we have a loaded show. Like, I think we have too many guests.
We do.
I think I'm just going to go.
Yeah, shut it down.
I'm just going to leave.
Rest up.
And just hang. Yeah.
I got this.
I'm still fighting it.
I'm going to be grilling Shai Davidi on the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, what's your number one Blue Jays question you could ask him?
Like, I haven't thought about it yet, but I'm going to come up with something. It's like, why did I go under on the lock of the day? Because when they played
He'd
the Mariners.
Like, what's the lock of the day? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. Who is this guy? Get him off the air. We need a professional.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
You think Shai Davidi knows who you are?
Not a chance.
I don't think he has. I don't think he knows who you are either. No offense.
I should just start talking. And then just listen to him just think. You could probably be able to hear him try to work it out in his head. Who the hell?
Who is this
is
guy?
This guy?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
He's a baseball guy. Although he's done a lot of other stuff.
Well, he may have heard of me being a bat catcher in Winkler, Manitoba when I was 12 years old.
You know what I love? That you called it a bat catcher.
Yeah. What else are you supposed to call him? A catcher?
Just catcher, yeah.
It's not a bat catcher.
No?
It's a catcher.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know what drives me bananas?
What?
That everyone does on this radio station except for me. They call it the Flames locker room. It drives me bananas. Because it's a clubhouse in baseball.
Yeah.
It's a dressing room in hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Flames dressing room. Everyone calls it a locker room.
I don't even know what
I call
it.
Why are we Americanizing our game?
It's true.
And I don't know why I'm so passionate about this, but I am. I hate the fact that they call it the Flames locker room. It's a dressing room. Did you ever get keys to the locker room when you were a kid? No.
No.
You got keys to the dressing room.
Indeed. I don't even know what I say now. So maybe somebody will catch it, but I think I say dressing room. Yeah. I don't know.
I always say dressing room. I hate locker room.
Yep.
And when Wayne Gretzky said it, I'm like, damn you, Wayne.
Yeah, he's been converted.
Don't do that.
Yep.
Don't call it a locker room. Yeah, I know there's lockers. They're not even lockers. They're stalls.
Yes. It's exactly what they are. They're stalls.
Yes.
Locker room is like basketball terms, terminology, is it not? I'm not a basketball guy.
Yeah, it
guy,
is. But it's it like is a, basketball. Yeah. And it's a clubhouse in baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't like that. All right, so the Flames lose last night 4-1. We got a jam-packed show. We're giving away Luke Bryan tickets. We haven't figured out how we're going to do that yet, but Mike Vernon's going to be involved.
Yep.
And we'll mix in some phone calls, I think. That'll be fine, right? With Connor on the board and intern Simon on that side and you helping out. I think we'll be fine with phone calls today.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're going to mix in some phone calls today.
I like that.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
You get to talk to Mike Vernon and maybe win some Luke Bryan tickets.
There you go.
We have two giveaways today. We're so generous to you.
Golf and Luke Bryan tickets?
Yeah.
I like that.
Can't beat it. So, Flames lose 4-1 last night. I did like Jonathan Huberto's game last night. At least I thought he was useful out there. And, did Michael Backlund miss Blake Coleman last night.
Big time.
And I think Michael Backlund's dealing with something. He's had a lot of maintenance days here lately. I think he's playing hurt. And it's a testament to what that guy's character is, that the season's done. They're playing literally for nothing.
Yep.
And that guy's out there struggling with something, trying to get this team W's.
Well, and he's the leader of the hockey team too, right? And there's a certain expectation and a responsibility that goes along with it. Like nagging injuries. You know, if he's still playing, I'm sure, you know, if they were playing for something, it wouldn't hurt as bad. But right now he's just, like you said, it's a testament to who he is if there is something going on. He hasn't looked the same. Right. And for him just to show up and go through the motions and be a leader for some of these young guys, too. Right. I mean, Zari I guess Mangiapane's not young, but Pospisil, guys like that, where you just got to play through stuff like that. Be a professional. But yeah, Coleman not being there, that's a big dent in that line.
Yeah. I think Zari's, again, it's such a small sample size and we need to keep our pants on because these are meaningless games, essentially. But I think he's done an admirable job at center so far.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and we talked about this too with, you know, his start to the season, how well he's played, and then having getting an injury there that kind of slowed him down a tad, trying to find his rhythm again. Being at center, there's more responsibility, right? Being on the wings, you can kind of fly up and down, but being centerman is a huge responsibility. And some guys, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but I thought he's done a very good job. He hasn't cost them a ton, and I think that added responsibility too has helped him simplify his game a tad. And, you know, with four games left in the season, like you said, too, there's not much to play for here. But this, now is the time to try and figure it out and see what you got. And I thought he's done really well. I watched him last night. I watched him the game before. I think he's finding his rhythm back again.
Dustin from Drumheller, I have to disagree with you, George. Huberto was a turnover machine last night. Every good Hubie play, there's two or three bad ones. Yeah, but that's what you get with him.
I know.
He tries to make things happen,
yep.
And he gives the puck away. The Flames are the number one turnover team in the NHL, which is actually very surprising, averaging almost 10 turnovers a game, which is a ton. But that guy tries to make stuff happen.
Is it surprising, though?
Watching them play? Well, especially with their blue line now, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With Miramanov.
Just stretch passes and hope plays and
Hope plays.
Yeah.
You're right. A lot of hope plays.
You know, and you know, like with a lot of those high end skill players though, too, it's like you said, it's high risk, high reward. So when it happens, like, wow, that's why we got him. And then it's two plays later, it hasn't been consistent.
No.
And it's definitely noticeable. And I think we're also trained to see Huberto's mistakes because it hasn't gone fantastic since he got here. It's gotten better since Christmas this year with him making more plays. And you know, he's been close to a point of game since Christmas, I think, right? So, but at the end of the day, I know it's he's going to make those ones that stand out. Just
also got a text message from that's because there are lockers in it. No, sir or madam, there are no lockers. There's no door to the.
No, it's just a stall with a couple hooks in it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a stall. Yeah. It's not a locker. There's no door to their
little shelf for your helmet, gloves.
Not yeah,
high school.
That's not a locker. Like it doesn't shut.
No,
they have stalls. So it's a dressing room.
And then like the.
Why do you think the players call it the room?
Right.
Well, maybe locker room, but whatever. The room. But it is the dressing room.
It is the dressing room.
Yeah, it's a dressing room.
It's because when
damn it,
because that's where you get dressed, right?
Yes.
And then even when you work your way up too, there's no locker in like the change room. It's just like stalls again.
Yeah.
Right.
Or just that bench around the room.
Yeah.
There's not even stalls in there half the time. But yeah,
you know it.
Oh yeah.
Right.
So you know all it. Your years playing professional hockey, did you ever shut your locker? Was there ever a door on your stall where it was a locker?
Never.
Exactly.
Never, ever.
That's
it's
right.
It's like where I put my flip-flops and my swimming shorts and my goggles.
Yeah. Right?
That's
so
it's when
goggles.
I go to the local pool.
Okay,
and
yeah. All right.
That's a locker room.
But you never shut it, see, because it was a locker.
Exactly.
Thank you. All right. Flames lose 4-1 last night. What are you looking forward to tonight against the Ducks? Because it'll be Wolfie time tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's hilarious when he doesn't have his mask on. He looks like a child on the bench.
I know.
Yesterday when he was like, when they're all coming off and you see little Wolfie without his mask on.
With his little
he
facial
like
hair.
A kid.
Right?
Yeah.
Just his little wispy beard
or
whatever, right? Like,
I could grow a better beard was in the eighth grade.
You know, when you can grow facial hair as a hockey player, it's hilarious watching junior hockey with those little weak mustaches the guys grow and like the.
Well, Sid had a weak mustache. Like greasy mustache for years.
I know. And it's more and more common now with younger guys too, right? Like I need to grow some facial hair. The mustache is a big thing and it's just so weak and funny.
Yeah.
I remember when I could first start growing a beard and I thought I was the coolest man alive, but I got the big thick neck beard too. Like I'm thin on the cheeks and just gross on the neck. It's disgusting.
I heard the ladies love a good neck beard.
They love it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got a thin, wispy mustache, too. Like, it's wiry. It's like a wool brush. And it's not very friendly. You know what I mean? If I were just to... I've actually shaved it into a mustache every once in a while, and I look absolutely ridiculous.
Patrick at the airport, dressing room forever. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
But, yeah, looking at Wolf on the bench.
Yeah.
Even, too, though, like...
He's a little dude.
He looks like a kid, right?
And he does.
And then when you see him in net too, it's like you could definitely notice the size discrepancy when Markstrom plays one game.
Oh my goodness.
And then Wolf goes back in the next night. Yeah. You're like, wow, you know that typical move that goalies do where they instead of just shuffling side to side when the puck's behind the net, they go down on their knees and that's kind of the play right now. And he gets down so low, you can definitely notice there's a difference.
When did you start shaving? At what age?
I had to shave my mustache, my thin mustache, by about like grade towards the end of grade 6, grade 7.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but because I had that, you know, like every young man gets when it's like, dude, that thing looks like you can't go certain places, right? Like just get
it
that
looks
off.
Like a caterpillar.
Yeah, somebody's following you right now. They're cop lights are behind you. But you know, you get that going like, wow, this is fun. And you had the old Bic, like the old rusty razor with like the yellow handle. And you could just, and you aftershave, like the Barbasol in the can.
Oh, yeah.
And you put it on, you just lather it right up. And you think you're the coolest man alive.
Throw a slap some Brut on there after.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
And the green bottle. And it was complete gasoline.
Where you get the gift set from your aunt.
Thanks
for spending $8 on me.
Gift set and some tube socks.
Oh,
and you're just looking at her like, what the hell is your problem? Give me money. Whatever cost you, give me the money
for it. I'd rather have the 20 that you just spent on me.
Like my grandmother, Ida Clausen, would roll up some dough in a sock. She'd be like, this is for you, kiddo. And I'm like, that's the best gift ever. I even wore the
socks.
She'd
roll it up in a sock?
She'd roll it up in a sock.
Oh, she didn't do like the handshake
move? No, she wasn't a mobster.
That was very smooth.
Yeah, she wasn't a...
GVP, your beard isn't that thick.
No, I'm a little blonde boy. I can't really grow
anything.
So when
did you start shaving?
Around like grade 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Almost grade 10 kind of thing. I also tried to, our hockey team did like a team Movember thing.
Yeah.
And I tried dyeing it. And I got chirped like the first game. It was like, hey, dude, nice mustache. Can I borrow your Sharpie? And I was like, oh, man. I just shave it immediately.
Yeah.
Wasn't on board for it.
Yeah, you had
game.
That pencil thin.
It looked like a cartoon mustache where it's just three lines across your top lip. And it was just terrible.
That's so good.
Yeah, I was like end of grade 7, grade 8, I had to start shaving.
Yeah.
Like.
Just to clean it up a little bit, hey? Because you get like the longer chops too. You don't really have sideburns, but it kind of just grows down a little bit.
My thing is like, I'd need a haircut because my beard is like very thick right now because I've been so sick lately. I don't want to sit there in a...
Ill.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there in a barber's chair while I'm getting my beard all trimmed up nice. But at the same time, COVID. My beard was so long during COVID. I should have been A, on the no-fly list, and B, like it was so long that when I was lying in bed, like my beard would be in my face because it was so long after like 3 months.
I get a bad cowlick in my beard. Like it goes, like the underneath grows one way and then it grows to a point on my right side and then it just basically just grows like a wizard sleeve or something like that just out of the corner. It just looks awful. And I got to go to the barber every once in a while and tighten it up.
Yeah, tighten it up.
Right? Because I can't do it myself because I, like my wife bought me like a trimming set so I could do it myself. Yep. And every time I do it, there's like weird lines. And then I try to get it just one more and then I just completely take a corner out and I'm like, I just can't do this.
Right. Just easier when they do it for you. It's an even professional looking job.
Have you had a straight shave before?
You know what? My skin is ridiculously sensitive and I just break out when I get a straight shave.
Really?
Yeah. I've had a straight shave done. I had it done for my brother's wedding years ago.
Yeah.
So my whole face was red and I'm like, I had to go pour on like aloe vera like 3 hours before the ceremony all over my face.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It was smooth though.
You're in a very vulnerable position when they start shaving your face, right?
For sure.
Like they sneeze and that blade's just going this way, right?
You got to trust the dude.
Yeah. Especially when you don't even know his name and you just walk in, I need a straight shave and my eyebrows trimmed.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, no problem. He's like, right around your jugular. Like, no problem.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. The whole hot towel thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting there and they wrap it around your nose.
It's so, open up your pores.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And then I just break out like crazy.
You just completely fall apart. And he's like, sir, can you please leave?
It's another reason why I have a beard all the time. So I'm like, I just don't want to shave all the time. Because my beard is so cool. What I got that, funny you mentioned that. I got that shaving story and the guy goes, I've been shaving beards for over 30 years. You got one of the coarsest beards I've ever shaved. I'm like, all right. That's why it's so difficult.
Yeah. It is thick. It is thick.
We haven't talked about anything, which is good. This is my jam in the 6 o'clock hour. I don't like to talk about anything. Well, we mentioned Huberto.
Yeah.
We talked about Zeri.
Miramanov playing
Snapper.
Yeah.
We did that. GVP's got the Rose Report next. Is it a thick and meaty Rose Report or no?
It's decent. It's about a medium-sized one. It's about average sized.
Average. Slightly above average
size. Average size Rose Report.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
He was told it was slightly above average size.
So
exactly.
We'll do the Rose Report next. We'll talk to Shai Diggity coming up at the top of the hour. And Frank Saravalli on this Coyotes thing. Did you ever play pro hockey in Salt Lake? Did you ever play games there?
Yeah, I did.
All right, so let's save that.
Okay.
I want to hear your stories about Salt Lake City.
Okay.
All right, it's the big show. There's no Maddie. There's no Patrick. There's Brent Cron. There's GVP. There's Connor and intern Simon. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Straight ahead, Shai Davidi covers the Blue Jays for Sportsnet, columnist. Jays play the stinky Rockies tonight. They suck.
Are they bad?
Yeah, they suck. They're bad.
I was them in RBI Baseball 93, and I think they were pretty good, or 94.
Where were you, Larry Walker?
Yeah.
Dante Bichette?
Damn right I was.
Andres Galarraga?
Oh, that's a... I forgot about that name. I'm going to see if
I can
find
it. Expos.
On my
the
Sega
Big Cat,
Genesis.
They called him.
Love that.
Oh,
My favorite baseball team as a kid growing up, and we used to go watch the Minnesota Twins play.
Kirby Puckett.
Yeah.
Dan Gladden.
Yep.
Jack Morris.
Kirby Puckett was the only one that I paid attention to.
Dan Gladden had that beautiful blonde mullet.
All I wanted to do was catch a ball at a baseball game. Yeah.
Kent Herbeck.
Herbeck.
Remember that name?
No.
Okay.
I would go to batting practice, and I was hoping that they would hit one over the wall so I could catch it.
I gave you a lot of Minnesota Twins there, just randomly.
Yeah, I went to two games.
Yeah.
That's it.
When they beat the Braves in the 91 World Series, where Jack Morris pitched into the 10th inning.
Yeah.
Complete game.
I didn't think I had a TV back then.
Yeah. And remember they had the plexi, like the hockey glass on their, in their outfield?
I do remember that.
At the Metrodome?
Yeah. And they'd open the doors to the Metrodome, and the wind was just, I don't know if they were sucking you in or pushing you out.
Yeah. The old Metrodome.
Yeah. Then we went to the zoo and saw Dave Winfield.
Oh, Dave Wan's noise, the 92 World Series.
Yep.
Where he helped the Blue Jays win the World Series. And that was his thing. He wanted the
stadium. He wanted noise. To allow
Dave Wan's noise.
Yeah, jack it up.
Yeah.
Did he wave his arms up in the air to pump the crowd up?
Yeah.
Did he do that?
Yeah. And then he was a big part of the 92 World Series team.
I remember that.
Yeah. GVP wasn't even an embryo then.
A thought.
No. Yeah. Not even close.
Not even close.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of no Maddie and no Patrick, we got Brent Cron in studio all day. Mike Vernon coming in at 8 o'clock. That's cool.
Yeah, I love that.
We're giving away some Luke Bryan tickets, four passes to Speargrass Golf Course. We got lots to do, but right now it's time for the Rose Report. And it's brought to you by Motorworks. If you own a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs. They'll gladly match and then beat any competitor's price by 10% on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose. Matt Rose.
Adam Rose.
Rose and Blue.
Matty Rose.
Matty Rose.
I don't have anything cool to put on the end of this like Patrick. Maybe we'll figure out something for Monday. But anyway, we got a bunch of stuff to get to. Flames and Kings went yesterday. An NHL recap. Jays start a series with the Rockies tonight. First round at the Masters is in the books. Some Raptors stuff and some more. It's a thick and juicy Rose Report for you on a Friday.
We got lots of stuff.
We will start with your Calgary Flames.
How about them Flames?
They were looking to play a little spoiler yesterday against the Kings. Last night, as a win for LA would clinch a berth in the postseason for them. Talbot in net for LA, Markey in the pipes for the Flames. Both teams would feel each other out for the first 5 minutes or so. Huberto would have a nice chance coming off the wing on an odd man rush. Shortly after, Miro Manov would catch a loose puck in the neutral zone and long snap it to Uyghur. Tape to tape, I can't say. You can't do that. So Kings would go off to the power play, and they would strike first.
It's a shot off the stick of Adrian Kempe that misses the mark. Kempe gets it back far half-boards and slides it into the high slot. Anže Kopitar drops. Kevin Fiala shoots and scores. Kevin Fiala with a perfectly placed shot right into the top corner of Jacob Markstrom's net. The Kings score a power play goal and take a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, nice shot from Kevin Fiala there, beating Markstrom on the far side, and the Flames were down one early.
Why are you shaking your head?
I hate that horn in LA.
Oh.
It just drives me nuts. Every time I hear it, it's annoying, right? It was a good net front presence on that goal. Fiala, nice shot, glove side. It's money.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the penalty kill's really been struggling.
It has. Big time.
For the Flames.
They were top for a long time.
Top four.
And now there's just the wheels have completely fallen off.
Well, they flipped the script.
Yes.
Now their penalty kill's bad and their power play's good. I don't even know what the
hell's
going on. You
were saying yesterday their power play being so red hot over the last couple weeks. It's just beyond frustrating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got nothing to play for right now. And the power play was something that you even said, if they just had like a top 12, maybe they'd be way more in this playoff race. Probably right on that. I don't know, with all the trades they made, but the fact that their power play is red hot right now when they got absolutely nothing to play for is just beyond confusing.
It's infuriating. It's like, you know, if you don't score on the power play, that's one thing, but getting lit up on the penalty kill, that's a tough one to swallow. And right now, they're just kind of chasing that puck around. They're not trusting each other. They're allowing teams just to get position and get goals. It sucks to watch.
That's my take at the beginning of the year. If they don't have a top 12 power play, they won't make the playoffs.
Yeah. And you're right, George. You're 100% correct.
It wasn't that bold of a take.
No.
But if they had a top 12 power play.
Hey, when you're right, you're right.
This team would be in a playoff position right now. When they were 30th, 31st on the power play the entire year, and they would have scored an extra 16 or 17 goals. What would that have meant throughout the season? A few more wins, that's for damn sure. I could tell you that for free.
So Flames were down one early. Moments later, the Flames would get a chance on their own power play after Arvidsson tripped up Connor Cesari. Not a whole lot for the Flames on their peeper. Kuzmenko did try a cross-crease pass to Huberto. That was like a million miles an hour and almost went out of the zone. So the Flames start 0-for-1 with the extra man. Teams would trade some minor chances on both ends, but this one would go to break still at a 1-0 score. In the first frame, thought Huberto was good, had a few chances. Markstrom looked okay, not his best, but I feel like he was still considered sharp. Thought the Kings were pretty sloppy in that opening 20. What were your guys' takeaways from that early 20 minutes?
Good road period for the Flames, right? They got some scoring chances. It's a tough building to play in when LA is humming along. And, you know, I thought Markstrom was solid. He made some good early saves. That goal on Fiala, I mean, it was on the power play.
Sure.
I thought he was solid throughout the game, too.
There was that play in the third period, and we'll get to it, where Markstrom, like, there was a trip, and then he dives out, and then Shillington has to make an arm save into the open net.
Pretty chaotic, yeah.
Has Markstrom looked as focused to you the last few games? Like, ever since the elimination, like, he doesn't look as laser locked in like he did, you know, even a month ago.
No, he's not as engaged for sure. You can tell he's frustrated. I think he's just kind of, his body language too, he's kind of a bit disinterested, right? He's in the right spot, he's making the saves, but he's not giving that extra, right? He's not fighting for space. I even thought on that second goal there by Arvidsson, he was a little surprised that Arvidsson was able to shoot there, right? He looks like he's just going through the motions right now. He's playing okay, but not like what we saw.
Like, it's not like anything with
season.
His positioning is off at all, and it just feels like what should be a no doubter. The save still often gets made. It's just that, you know, it doesn't feel as of a no doubt.
No,
if that makes sense.
And he's a big body, but you can tell that there's just something missing. It's frustrating not going to the playoffs. You can't blame him. He's still playing well, but he's not tracking the puck as much. He's just kind of going down, and pucks are hitting him, and he's. Yeah, you know,
he just
four more games.
To me, it doesn't look like he's battling he was before. And when Wolfie's in there, he's battling.
For sure he is.
Because he's like, I got to prove myself here in this league. I'm a child. I look like a child, and I got to battle my way through. Like, and that's what it is. Like, he's battling in net.
Well, for sure. And, you know, it's all new to Wolf, too, right now. And he's not, obviously, he's not a bona fide NHLer yet. So he's fighting every game tooth and nail to prove to the Flames he belongs. And with Markstrom, he's been at it for a long time. And these... The doldrums of the season here, where you're playing for nothing, it's hard to get up for these games. There's a difference for sure.
So we're off to the second period, and the Kings would get on the board early in this frame as well.
And now here's Moore. Near circle to Arvidsson. He leaves it near half boards for Dano. He'll play it behind his back to Arvidsson, who shoots and scores. What a shot by Victor Arvidsson, who absolutely rips the puck over the left shoulder of Jacob Markstrom, just under the crossbar, just inside the goalpost, and he gives the Kings a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, it looked like Markstrom might have even been screened by Trevor Moore on that one, but Arvidsson beats Markey high on the short side with his third of the year to make it 2-0. You thought maybe that Markey should have had that one?
Well, he was deep in his net, and I don't think, like, Arvidsson was able to get center ice too, right? Like, he's a right-handed shot off the wall. He's able to get position.
He had a chance, like, right before he scored this goal where he probably should have took the shot and then opted not to. Ended up getting it back and making good on it, but...
It was a bomb. It was a great shot, but I think the Flames gave up more ice there, allowing him to shoot and getting in the middle.
More of the same for the next couple minutes, but we're seeing in the first period a lot of transitional play, but I will say that you could feel that the Kings were beginning to take this game over as they had a few shifts in a row where they started snapping it around the Flames zone, and it was only a matter of time that they would strike again.
Gil Thomas shoots, off Shillington, it bounces across, LeFerrière tries a shot, but can't get a stick on it. And Dubois will play it right point to Roy, gets it in deep again. Shillington clears it up the near boards, not out. Here's Roy, winding, he fires and scores. Matt Roy with a slap shot from the right point that I'm not sure Jacob Markstrom saw, and he gives the Kings a 3-0 lead.
Good point shot, right?
It was deflected,
yeah. And it bounced too. You could see Markstrom when he was going, and he thought he had it in his chest, and it went short side. I mean, couldn't see it. Deflection. Another good point shot by the Kings.
They get into penalty trouble a short time after.
Yeah.
And I thought the Flames did a great job when they were down 5-on-3, like, at least killing that penalty. At least there was some desperation by the Flames not to allow that fourth goal. And I think that's a testament to Ryan Huska and his coaching staff that this team isn't really quitting. Like, we talk about Jacob Markstrom's maybe his body language or his attitude, but the team as a whole isn't really quitting, which is big, because you don't want them just to be out there going through the motions. And they're not. Like, they try to fight back in the third period last night.
Well, absolutely, and to your point earlier in the show, right, with Backlund fighting through stuff too, being a leader on the team, working hard, right, setting the tone and making sure the guys know that they got four more games left and to play it out.
So that would be Akil Thomas's third of the year. He deflects a rocket from Matt Roy, and it was that would make it 3-0. Flames, I felt, were just not in it this period. They then took a too many men penalty right after that goal. Kings had a couple good chances on that power play, including a couple cross-ice one-timers from Kevin Fiala. Things would get blown down pretty much right after that chance, as Andrew Mangiapane would take a penalty and give the Kings a 5-on-3 after clipping Adrian Kempe in the beak. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of felt like Kempe kind of flopped on that one. Looking at the replay,
that didn't really look like a penalty,
right? Like there was contact with glove to face, but it kind of just looked like incidental contact, and Kempe went down like a sack of bricks.
I saw that too. I had to rewind that a little bit. Like, what's going on here? Was it that bad? But I agree with you guys.
So all in all, it kind of felt like a bad middle frame for Calgary. They'd go to the break down 3-0. Flames come out of the dressing room, though, with a bit more jump. There was a weird flurry at the 13-minute marker where Markstrom tries to play a loose puck by the right face-off dot that almost ended in disaster and almost iced the game. Thankfully, it didn't, though, because just 2 minutes later, Calgary gets on the board.
And a doer moves it far side to Zeri. Slides it down low to Huberto, who's had some good chances tonight. Huberto. They boot the puck to Zeri, makes a bank pass to Miramanov, who shoots and scores! Daniil Miramanov took the shot, and it looked like Jonathan Huberto redirected the puck past Cam Talbot and in, and the Flames cut the Kings' lead to 3-1.
Huberto was good last night. Nice deflection, makes this game a 3-1 game. Your thoughts on Huberto last night? I thought he was okay. Like the texter kind of mentioned there are turnovers in there, but
that's
what you get with Jonathan Huberto.
And again, there's so few guys on this team who tried to create offense, and that was a laser beam from Miramanov.
Oh, man.
That thing was a rocket. Huberto just put his stick down and just banged off his stick, really.
And Huberto was just hoping it didn't get, he hit his ankle or his toe or something like that. And even Rudy on the broadcast said, too, and without a doubt, we knew Miramanov was shooting that puck. Like, everybody knew as soon as he got it,
it
was going to the net.
Flames had the Kings on their heels for the remainder of that game, but an empty netter from Arvidsson would ice things. They win it 4-1, and LA is off to the playoffs. They clinch a playoff berth with the wins. Some takeaways I had, a slow second period kind of felt like it killed the games. Also, the penalties they had also killed the rhythm, I felt. It was already kind of a chippy and sloppy game, and just getting into penalty troubles kind of put the Flames behind the eight ball. On the Kings side of things, felt like when I'm looking at them, if I'm a playoff team, nothing really scares me.
No.
If I'm one of those dominant playoff teams out west, other than their center depth, there's not a whole lot to this LA team, I feel.
No, and they kind of play a boring style of hockey too, right? They try to lull you in. They try to play defensively.
Yeah, they're running that 1-3-1 system, yeah. And it's like kind of old school trap hockey.
That's the way I think they can do it though too. They can't. I don't think they can compete with teams in the West in the playoffs. I don't. For in the playoffs. Not at all.
Well, are they trying to harken back to when Darryl was behind the bench?
Yeah. Those 2-1, but they don't have Jonathan Quick in net. You know right. What I mean? They got Talbot and they got Riddick.
Yeah.
That's Big Save Dave.
Big Save Dave.
They were talking about it on the broadcast last night. Big Save Dave, great guy in the room.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be a good guy in the room, get paid to be a good guy in the room.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Be a nice guy.
Got to be a nice guy.
Right.
But let's hear from the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Ryan Huska, who spoke after the game yesterday.
I don't think we were competitive enough in the first two periods. Third period, I thought we started to skate a little bit, and we had some more zone time than we did the first two periods. But I think a lot of it came down with the competitive side and not clean or crisp with the puck.
We talked this morning about just that style and expecting it, you know, from their perspective. But did you feel like they were putting a little pressure in terms of making that first pass and maybe just not getting out of your zone?
Well, it wasn't. I felt like we were slow overall, and that always starts in your zone. So whether that's the speed that we're moving the puck or how we're moving our feet, but I found like we stood around a lot in the first period, and their neutral zone was good tonight. They did a really good job with it, but I think we played into it a little bit because of the pace that we played the game at.
There you go. Flames back at it tonight. They'll be in action against the Anaheim Ducks to visit them at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock puck drop with Derek and Megan. Steiner will have the pregame show at 7. 4 games left, boys. 4 to go.
Yeah, let's do it. 12 periods.
12 periods. You're just ticking them down right
Bang
now.
Bang out 2 this weekend.
Yep.
Tonight, Sunday, boom. Last time against the Coyotes, probably.
And they,
as the Coyotes.
And the Coyotes beat the Canucks the other day, too.
Yeah.
They did.
Anyway.
Let's
go.
Let's get to some of the other action from yesterday's game. We will start in Toronto, and the Austin Matthews quest for 70 continues.
Matthews gets it back to the point. Kept in there nicely. And a centering pass. Matthews scores! 67! 67 on the board! Back into the corner. It comes to Domi. Looks for a pass in front. They score! Matthews again! Holy mackerel! Never mind. 67. We can forget about that. 68.
Number 67 and 68 of the year for Austin Matthews made this game 3-3, but the Devils wouldn't take a step back in this one. David Kampf would make it 4-3 for the Leafs, but Meyer and Bratt would flip things in favor for the Devils to make it 5-4. John Tavares would get his second of the game at the 15-minute marker into the third period to square this game up at 5. So this game needed a hero. Let's see who it was going to be.
And the other teams come back on them. Most recently, Tavares tying things up at 5. Bratt through a stick check. He shoots, he scores! Jesper Bratt puts the Devils ahead with 74 seconds to play!
Yeah, Jesper Bratt with the winner. Devils beat the Leafs 6-5.
Man, Samsonov was bad last night.
Man, he was so bad.
He was so deep in his net, too, on a couple of those goals. What is he doing? Is that just... once you're deep in your net, lack of confidence.
For sure, right? That's all. That's what it is, 100%, right? Or it's lack of interest, too, right? If you're just kind of going through the motions, not really thinking about the game, right?
Does a goaltender even, like, realize when they're starting to sink back into their net?
No, very rarely. Somebody has to tell you, or you watch it on the video, you're just like, oh, my God, I was sitting on my goal line, right? When you're going through it, and especially when you have to fight for ice, and if you don't feel like you want to be in the battle, you'll give up ice, just subconsciously, and that's what Samsonov was doing all night.
We'll take a look at this Pittsburgh and Detroit game, a massive game in the crazy Eastern Conference playoff race. We'll pick this things up in the second period where we see a little bit of history from Sid the Kid.
Carlson fires it to center circle and it'll be picked up by Russ. Here he comes. Penguins pouring in with Russ. Crosby to the front of the net. He scores! Sidney Crosby on the setup from Brian Russ. It's 87, making it 3-2 for the Black and Gold.
With that goal, Crosby moved into sole possession of 10th all-time on the points list, passing Phil Esposito, and that would make this game a 3-2 score in favor of the Penguins. The Wings would get back into it, and when it was all said and done after 60 minutes, this baby was tied at 5, and we needed some overtime.
Crosby sets it up high. Carlson blasts. He scores! Erik Karlsson in overtime! He's brought the house down. EK65 wins it for the Penguins. 6-5.
What hit wonder.
Maddie's favorite. Erik Karlsson, the hero. Pens win it 6-5. A huge game for Pittsburgh.
Oh, and they're in a play. They're in the wild card spot now. It's a huge. Sidney Crosby's willing this team into the playoffs.
Absolutely,
right now.
He also recorded his 1,000th assist in that game as well on the opening goal.
Yeah, he's a machine right now.
I know Elliot Friedman was all about if the Penguins get into the playoffs, we should talk to about Sidney Crosby for the heart.
Yeah,
I want to do that, but I can't.
No,
I can't put him over MacKinnon.
You can't.
I can't put him over Kucherov, and then we can have the McDavid Matthews conversation.
I agree, 100%.
Like if Matthews scores 70, like.
70 goals.
70 goals is a lot in today's NHL.
No, man. Yeah, no, you can't. I mean, Crosby's doing a bang-up job. He's doing everything he can, but he's not in that same stratosphere right now.
Philadelphia looking to keep pace with the Eastern Conference race as well, as they've been brutal as of late, but they took on the Rangers yesterday. Things were tied at 1 after 20, but goals from Bobby Brink, Konechny, and Noah Cates would put this one to bed. Philly on top in this one, 4-1. The Islanders coming into this one against Montreal, where they were on a 5-game heater. Montreal riding high after beating the brakes off of Philadelphia 2 games back. Teams would trade goals to bring us to a 2-2 deadlock, so we needed some extra hockey in this one as well.
Nelly loads the gun to Palmieri right in the net. Sharp angle, shoots! He scores! Kyle Palmieri makes it goals in 4 straight games! He's got an overtime winner tonight as New York takes it 3-2, and they are out to mob the Long Island native in a sea of blue jerseys!
Oh, that's on Hofstra Radio. You know, the Islanders have their... it's on a college radio station.
Really?
Yeah, Hofstra.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nobody wants the radio rights for the Islanders. They're on a college radio station.
Oh, man.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
And the Coyotes are in a college barn and the...
Coyotes on a college barn. Islanders college radio. 91.4% chance now for the Islanders to get to the playoffs. Patrick Wah factor. It's worked.
He's done well, and he's a passionate guy behind that bench, too. Oh, man. He's brought a little excitement to the Islanders. And
they're a boring team that plays boring hockey, but like you said, Patrick Wah brings a little bit of juice to that club.
Oh, yeah, and you look forward to his press conferences after the game, too, and it's he's put that team a little bit, given them a bit of an identity, at least, with his last name.
Jets and Stars from the Lone Star State. Stars looking to clinch the Central Division title. Two heavyweight playoff teams going at it in this one, but we got our winner in the first period.
Flung toward the net by Stanley. Came back out in front and a backhand shot by Monahan. Stop, rebound. They score! Nikolaj Ehlers from his knees with goal number 200. And they'll pick up the puck for him. Pass the puck to the Danish on the left-hand side.
What? To the Danish?
To the Danish. Ehlers, 24th of the year, is the winner. Jets shut out the Stars 3-0. Hellebuck with the 24 save shutout. A couple other scores from yesterday. Sabres double up the Caps 4-2. Senators sneak past the Bolts in a shootout 3-2, the final there. Panthers shut out the Jackets 4-0. And the Sharks beat the Kraken 3-1. As for tonight, five games including Flames and Ducks at 6. The Blues will look to chase down the Vegas Golden Knights for the final wildcard spot in the West as they host the Carolina Hurricanes. You can catch that one on Sportsnet Plus. Predators will visit Chicago at 6:30, also on Sportsnet Plus at 7. The Oilers will host the Arizona Coyotes on Sportsnet West. We'll have to wait and see if Connor McDavid will play in this one as he's still listed day-to-day. At 8 o'clock, another one with some playoff narratives attached to it. Vegas will look to strengthen their lead for the final wildcard spot as they host the Minnesota Wild. Also, speaking of those Vegas Golden Knights, they signed Noah Hanifin to an 8-year contract extension with a cap hit of $7.35 million per year.
Just stacks and stacks of Jack.
Hanifin will have a full no-trade clause for the first 6 seasons of the contract and a 15 no-trade list in the final 2 years. Hanifin will receive $29.4 million in signing bonuses over the next 4 seasons. Listen, they went out and tried to get their guy at the deadline. There was a big talk about whether or not they're going to get the extension about it. I know Matty was snickering about that, but Vegas gets their guy and they sign the deal.
How do they keep doing it?
I have no
idea. How are they going to fit everybody under the cap?
I know. It's going to come to an end here at some point, don't you think? Like, they just keep finding ways to make it work. It's frustrating.
Look, they got what's his name? Hurdle. They got to fit him. They have Eichel, Pietrangelo, Stone, now Hanifin. I know the cap's going up, but where are you going to fit all these guys?
They're
going
to have to make
some moves. Like Marchessault's contract coming up.
Yep. It feels like he's a guy that might take a discount, just that he wants to be a guy who finished his career in Vegas. Vegas kind of gave him a new lease on life with his career. He wins the Stanley Cup there, wins the Conn Smythe. I could see him taking a pay cut, but that being said, players are going to want to get what they're worth. So it'll be an interesting narrative with Marchessault as well.
Yeah, I know. This has always been an organization that's found a way, too, and they started their... You know, their life off with going to the Stanley Cup final, and guys want to play there too. They'll find ways to make it work.
We'll go to the diamond here.
Donnie Baseball. You know, Donnie Baseball's a listener.
Yeah, Blue Jays are kicking off a series against the Colorado Rockies today. Ryan Feltner will be on the bump for the Rockies. Kevin Gausman will be getting the start for the Jays tonight. Through his first 2 starts, he's 0-1, pitched 5.2 innings, and has an ERA of 9.53. Looking for a better start out of Gausman here, who got pretty banged up in his last start in the Bronx, where he pitched just 1 1/3 and got tagged for 5 earned runs on 6 hits. I know he's dealt with some elbow stuff, but yeah, looking for Gausman to look super, super sharp. Jays will be looking to get their first sweep of the season as this series will play out over the weekend because, like George mentioned off the top here, the Rockies stink. They're 3-10, which is the worst start of the year in 13 games in franchise history. First pitch is scheduled for just after 5 o'clock. It is not on our airwaves, but you can check it out on Sportsnet 1. Some other news around the big leagues. Ipe Mitsuhara, the former translator of Shohei Ohtani, was charged with bank fraud yesterday. Federal authorities announced that yesterday. For this guy, it's going to be this kind of situation.
You shout like that, they put you in jail.
Yeah.
Right away. No trial, no nothing. You're stealing. Right to jail.
Right to jail. Authorities said Mitsuhara transferred more than $16 million from Ohtani's bank account to pay off debts to an illegal sports book. Mitsuhara.
$16 million. Not
like,
16.
$16 million. 16. Did I say 16?
No. I'm just saying. It wasn't $16, GVP. It was $16 million.
Yeah.
The man has no conscience.
Mitsuhara is accused of lying to a financial institution to steal the money and impersonating Ohtani to convince the bank to approve the wire transfers. This story just keeps getting stranger and stranger.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it stinks. I think it stinks a lot. And the Shohei Ohtani stuff and how he changed his story and then flat out lied about meeting the fan who caught his first home run ball.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stank around Shohei Ohtani right now. And maybe because I'm bitter because he didn't sign with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
That's probably it.
But there's a lot of stank around Shohei Ohtani.
There's just so much there that's like how could you not notice that? Like there's like 19,000 bets that were placed and like the amount of money that's getting missed is just crazy. Yeah,
but again, when Shohei has that much bank,
I know
he really doesn't notice it.
And guys have power of attorney over
multiple
stuff
accounts,
too, right?
I guess like, too, but yeah.
You're just going out there. You're always told it's professional. Like, you go out there and do your job, and we'll do our job for you. And we're going to steal 16 million sheets from you and try to turn it into more. Like, come on.
Let's go to golf here.
The crowd is standing on its feet here at Augusta. The normally reserved Augusta crowd. Going wild. It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Round one of the Masters at Augusta National went down yesterday. Your leaderboard after round one, Bryson DeChambeau.
It's wrapping up,
but we're almost near the end of it. Bryson DeChambeau leads the pack at 7-under. Scheffler just one shot back at 6-under. Nikolai Højgaard sits in third at 5-under. He just finished up his round. As George mentioned, things are still wrapping up today. The 2016 champ Danny Willett and Max Homa round out the top five as they both sit at 4-under par. Corey Connors is the top Canadian. He sits 2-under T9, just five shots back of the lead. Tiger Woods ended his round at 1-under. He is at T17. Defending champ John Rahm, T42 at 1-over. George, your dark horse, Min-Woo Lee, is 2-over T54.
Yeah.
As for the other Canadians, Mike Weir is T54 as well at 2-over. Adam Hadwin, T69. And Nick Taylor at T82. You said you watched a ton of this. Any takeaways from the Masters?
Yeah, I watched a ton of Masters yesterday. Tiger just finishing up his first round. He's even par on 17. He looked good, and now he's, like, laboring around the course. He's touching his back. Like, here.
Oh, yeah.
But watching Scottie Scheffler yesterday, there's no way anybody's going to beat this guy.
And it looked like it didn't even look hard for him.
Dialed in with his irons. It is absurd. His iron play. And Rory McIlroy had a really good first round. That's always the Achilles heel for Rory. 1-under 71 in the first round. Usually he blows up in round one.
Yeah,
he's
kind of
in contention now.
Yeah.
But to me, this is Scottie Scheffler's tournament to lose. We'll talk to Sam McKee, one half of the Golf Guys, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, coming up at 8:45.
The biggest tragedy that I find is I forgot to put my name in the Masters pool. I forgot to pick a team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quickly here, let's go to the NBA. Raptors in action tonight.
Thank you, Doug.
They'll be taking on the Miami Heat at 6 o'clock on the other network. Raptors just two games left on the year. A Raptors loss and a Memphis win tonight will secure them their first-round draft pick. Memphis also plays at 6 as they take on the Los Angeles Lakers, the only game on Sportsnet. You can find it on Sportsnet Plus. It's a heavyweight battle in this one. The Thunder host the Bucks. Tip-off at 6 o'clock. We'll get to some local stuff here. Wranglers played last night. They lost to the Vancouver affiliated Abbotsford Canucks by a score of 3-1. Jordan Osterle with the lone goal for Calgary. They will run it back tonight at the Dome. Puck drop at 7 o'clock there. The Calgary Canucks start their AJHL Final Series tonight in Whitecourt. The series will start in Whitecourt for games 1 and then 2 on Saturday. Games 3 and 4 at the Ken Bracco Arena will be on Tuesday and Wednesday here in Calgary. And that is your morning report.
Trivia stuff, GVP, is brought to you by Motorworks. If you own a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs. A gladly match that beat any competitor's price by 10% on 51st Avenue, 3rd Street Southeast. Shai Davidi, Frank Saravalli, all next. Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.